Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh, for the blessing of today, for the blessing of life, Yahweh. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of thy son, Yahushua. Thank you for the blessing, Father, of bringing us into a relationship with you, Father. Thank you for life, health, and strength, Father. And I just ask, Father, that you be here amongst us today, Father. And as we talk about your word, Father, that you give us the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, Father, to continue in this relationship with you, Father. We thank you for your mercy, Father. We thank you for your kindness, Father. We thank you for your judgment, Father, when it comes down, Father. And we ask always, Father, that with your loving kindness, that you continue to chastise us and uplift us, Father, as we take this journey with you. In Yahushua's name we pray, amen. Are you Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, and Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shiva, family. Are you on the line? No. If somebody's on the line, could you shoot me a quick text to see if I'm coming through? Otherwise, I'm going to begin. Shalom. Shabbat shalom. Mashlo Makai with Mashlo Merk. How's everybody feeling? Tov Mayod. Happy to hear that it is Tov Mayod. It's been quite some time since I've been for the morning lesson as the teacher. So welcome back to Study to Show Thyself Approved. You good to go? Hallelujah. Study to Show Thyself Approved unto Yahweh, one of the Blog Talk series. I believe I have the next 7 weeks, 6 weeks? Okay, it's 6 weeks. Same thing as a change. It's 6 weeks that I will be with you, your brother Ahavah. And I know it's in the instructions, but just in case, no one logged in the blog talk to see what the lesson is today. It's a question. For the first 3 weeks, Abba placed on my heart quite some time back as we were going through, you know, the Torah about some very pertinent questions that are asked in the scriptures that apply to us individually. You know, they were asked then, and as humanity continues to exist and until, you know, Yahushua returns, these questions are individual, has to be asked, because these questions affect your relationship with your Creator. They affect your relationship with your fellow man, and they reflect the relationship that you have with yourself, because believe it or not, we have to have a relationship with ourselves as an individual. You know, I mean, I don't think I'm the only one who at times just sit and have conversation with yourself. You know, reasoning back and forth, you know, about some of the good things you do. And oftentimes, if you're a hard bell, it's about the bad things that you do. You know? So, again, you know, the three important questions. And the first question I would like to start off with was the question that Yahushua actually asked. So if you, for those that may be listening, please don't forget to have your Bible. Regardless of what format it's in, whether it's electronic or whether it's an actual paper Bible, make sure you have your concordance. And what's the other study tool that we suggest that everyone has? Your dictionary, because we like to use that as well. So again, three very important questions. So the first I would like to talk with everyone is Yahweh sees fit about the question that Yahushua asked. He said, "Who be men?" In Matthew and in Mark, the passage reads, "Who do men say that I am?" And in Luke, it says, "Who do the multitudes say that I am?" But in each one, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where the scenario is illustrated, the same question is asked each time. Who do you say that I am? You know, and we're going to read through it in each scenario because, you know, they're in the quote-unquote the synoptic gospels. Matthew shows it from one perspective. Mark shows it from one perspective, but Luke shows it from another perspective, and very interesting because Luke seems to give a little bit more details about what's going on. You know, Luke had, each one of them had a different mindset. Each one of them had a different outlook as to how they saw and perceived Yahushua. And not that they saw him any differently, but, you know, if you look at Matthew's book starts off one way. Mark's book starts off another way. Luke's book starts off another way. And actually, when you look at what's illustrated in Luke's book, it's usually where they get the whole quote-unquote nativity story from, in Luke's book, that they, you know, they try to jack around his, which it is the event surrounding his birth, just not the time and association that the world uses it for, you know. But these are actual historical events that even though they've been tainted and our outlook has been skewed on them, but we cannot negate the fact, especially now that we're going into that season, that these things have taken place, you know. And the world views their illustrations very differently from what we as believers in Yahushua see it, you know. But we can't negate the fact that even though they use it surrounding their practices and their false, a false religion, it doesn't negate the fact that these things actually took place in his life, you know. But one of the things that I believe that we are charged with doing, and why even Yahushua asked that question, you know, who do men say that I am, or who do the multitude say that I am, but who do you say that I am? Because it is very important for those, and he asked that not of everyone. He asked that of those who are most intimately involved with him. He asked that of those he handpicked. He didn't ask that of everybody. And we're going to see that, through, you know, when we go through the passages, you know, because one of the things that you learn from the gospel is that he handpicked each one of his disciples, each one of the people that he chose to now go out into the world and to share the information that they had received personally from him. He wanted to know, how y'all looking at me? How y'all feeling? You know? Don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but, you know, some it's like it's been so long, and so it's like you got so much stuff running through your mind. One of the things that I've tried to practice is keeping calm and just, you know, kind of not racing ahead of myself, you know? But that is the thing, because, you know, last time I was going through, funny, out at Sukkot with, you know, hanging out at the site with the brothers, and there was a teaching that was on, and Marel was listening to it, and it just so happened to be one of the last time I taught, and I was like, wow, and I was listening to it, and the last time I taught it was about relationships, and this actually is going to be a continuation of that in some regard, even though it's not going to be titled relationship. But one of the things, especially here at Beth Yahweh, I think that is very important to us as a congregation and also as individuals, is that where are we as far as our relationships are concerned? Where are we in regard to our relationship with Yahweh? Where are we in regard to our relationship with our congregation? Where are we in regard to our relationship with individuals in the congregation? Because those are three different dynamics. You know what I'm saying? Because we have a relationship, by and large, in the congregation. I am Ahava. I am the one who does certain things within the congregation. That is my role and my relationship in that regard. But then as an individual, I have an individual relationship with my brother here, my brother there, my sister there, and that at times, you know, there are ebbs and flows to that relationship, and all of them. You know, there are ebbs and flows in our relationship with Yahweh. There are times, I know in my personal life, that I feel like, ooh, Yahweh's wrapped all around me. You know, we be close and we talking and everything. And from the time I wake up, I can't sleep sometimes because the thoughts about things are going through my mind. And there are times I'm doing my own thing, you know, listening to my 80s playlist and my this, that, and doing the other things, playing my video games and this, that, and the third, and not really as close and as tight. But I'm the same thing sometimes with, you know, with my brothers, depending on what may be going on in my life, you know, especially at work. There's time my brother, he may not see me for the week, and then come to serve, I ain't seen you all week. We ain't talk. There are times I get to see my brother every day. Same thing with my brother Yahweh. There's times, boom, every day, 5325, 5325, 5325. Well, I see on my line, see on my end, Emerson, Emerson Kearsite, Emerson Kearsite. Oh, there go my brother. Well, he's leaving his messages, you know, and say, hey, what do you say? Shalom, Jason the Star Command. How you doing today? He'll leave me some crazy message about, yeah, I'm calling about a wheelchair that we got out here at Edmondson site that we need somebody looking to you for. Could you get you know, but nevertheless, you know, my brother, you know, we'll talk sometimes. We may not talk until Shabbat, but nevertheless, you know, we have a relationship. I have a relationship with my brothers, and I have a relationship with, my, with you know, each one individually, and it's a collective, you know, as well as with the congregation. So same thing, you know, with Yahweh and Yahushua. So without yammering on too much more, I would like to get to where we are today. If my phone decides he wants to cooperate. All right. I'm going to be reading initially from the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now, and again, we're going to deal with some relevant questions for the next few weeks. And if anybody has any questions or thoughts that come to mind, please feel free to share. Now I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, just in case anybody wants to know. And again, it's Matthew, the 16th chapter. And I'm actually going to start from the first verse in each one of these chapters because I like to get the whole perspective of it, not just that one particular scripture, but everything that was going on leading up to when that statement was made. So just bear with me, all right? So starting Matthew 16:1. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Right? So the first thing we see now, starting off in this chapter, we got the leadership among the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, they tested him. Said to them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. See, we got all this fancy stuff today. You know, I like to listen to the weather report every morning. But back then, you know, they looked at me. Another thing that Yahweh had shown me, and I don't want to get off topic, but just about, you know, times and laws. And we'll talk about that a little later. But no, let's talk about it right now. I guess that's why it's on my mind. But one of the things that he helped me understand when it comes to times and laws, see, Yahweh deals strictly within the natural order. That's it. And when he's dealing with these people back then, they are also dealing in some regards in the natural order. They haven't gotten to this place where we need satellites and radar images and all this sort of stuff. So when things are being dealt with from that perspective, it's dealing with it from people who are already somewhat at that point, even though they have gone, you know, astray from some things because they didn't get the parables that he talked about with, that dealt with natural things. But they did understand that there was a natural order and they depended more on nature than we do today. You know what I'm saying? So just a thought as far as, you know, like times and laws are concerned, that, you know, those people back then, our forefathers and the people of old, they really dealt with things far differently than we do, you know, in this era, where everything is based on something electronic and something that you got to turn on TV to get. When you talk about people and the people and how Yahweh wants us to be, is to be in tune with those things. And he actually is taking us back to that, because the natural order is a moon begins when? I mean, the month begins when? Sunset. And, you know, it's so funny. This was a little child. You know, my son got up one morning, laying in bed, and, you know, for us, as you know, as adults that work, you know, we tend to get caught up, even though we're believers, we tend to get caught up in the cycle of time that they have actually placed us in, you know, and that's part of the changing of times and laws. You know, 12 o'clock midnight ain't the new day, you know what I'm saying, even though that's what they call it, you know. So one morning, you know, I'm laying in bed, and Ari says to me, Daddy, is it time to get up? Is it morning? And I'm like, yes, yeah, son, it's morning. It was maybe about 5 o'clock. It was, you know, about that time when, you know, it starts, the light starts coming early. It was like springtime. I'm like, yeah, it's morning, son. But he said, the sun's not up. How could it be morning? And I'm like, you know what, Ari, you're right. It's not morning. Go back to sleep. You know, go back. It's not, because the sun is the time clock for this planet. He said he gave the sun, moon, and stars for signs, for seasons, for days, and yada, yada, yada. He gave it for us to tell time. So even though we walk around with this timepiece and I can pick my phone up and it'll tell me that what time of day it is, that's still not Yahweh's time. Whatever hour of the day the sun rose, that is the first hour of the day. You know, we just talked about this recently, that now the days, even though the morning still starts around the same time, even though they set it back to daylight saving times or whatever, but he's giving us less daylight now because there's less work for us to do as far as planting and all that type of stuff. Right now it's the harvest time. So really the time that you need to be out harvesting is when the light is out. So you get your butt up early in the morning, go pick your apples. And another thing Yahweh showed me, and I love this, I know we don't like pumpkins. We got one, maybe two, three, four. I like pumpkins. I ain't got no problem with pumpkins. Like I mentioned to my sister, in the cafeteria, like, y'all have a sweet potato pie? Sweet potato pie in the cafeteria be good. So y'all have a sweet potato pie? She was like, yeah, so I'm going to try this piece of pumpkin. Pumpkin? Yeah. I don't eat no pumpkin pie. I don't eat that. I was like, what's wrong with pumpkin? She's like, sweet potato pie. That's what we eat. That's what we eat. So, but here's the thing. Sweet potato is very healthy for you. One of the healthiest things that you eat. But pumpkin is also very healthy for you as well. You know what Yahweh showed me? Especially going into this season, right, when vegetation is starting to get scarce, right? Because this is apple season. This is pumpkin season. Sweet potatoes kind of run all throughout the year, right? Do you know that pumpkins are one of the most nutrient-dense foods that you can eat? Fiber-filled food that you can eat, because you know what you eat during this season mostly? And they're preservable. Apples, pumpkins, potatoes, squash, all those gourds, they're very preservable things. You find a cool place, a cool and dry place to store them, they'll last you throughout the whole winter. And the seeds are very healthy too, right? So this is the time of year, watching the Last and Frontier. I done went way off topic, y'all. I'm sorry. Right, that Last of the Frontier, man, this is the time you go out there and you eat meat. Well, meat ain't got no fiber in it. Last thing you want to do is be backed up at a time when, you know, you know what I'm saying? You don't want, there's no fiber in meat, but meat now is more rich. Matter of fact, I went to pick up salad from Tulsa yesterday, and broad daylight, 2 days just walking across there, walking across the thing. So if I was hungry, guess what I got? I ain't got my favorite cherry, blueberries, or whatever, but if I wanted me 2 days, I had 2 days right there. I had 2 days to eat right there. Wasn't even looking for them. They just walked out like nothing. But Yahweh showed me that, okay, you're going to have a lot because this is the season that they're starting to build. You're seeing the bucks out now. You're seeing, oh, they fat now. You know, and they rich in, you know, this is, you get one of them and you're good to go like the Alaskan Frontier. But if you eat too much of that, guess what's going to happen? You get the protein that you need, but you're not going to get the other nutrients that you need. So you got the pumpkin that's in abundance. You got the squash that's in abundance. You got the sweet potato that's in abundance. And you got apples which are in abundance. All the things that you need to carry you through. Not necessarily the flu shot, you know, but they're just a sidebar on that family. I'm going to get back to less. Just, sorry, it's been a while, so I'm backed up. Family about, you know, I miss this. I really do. So back to Matthew, the 16th chapter. But I think how I ended up going off on that was when we were talking about you see the signs in the weather. And I'm a weather junkie. I want to make sure because I commute, I want to make sure that I'm not standing out in the soaking rain. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not wearing a long sleeve shirt if it's going to be like 80 degrees. So, you know, but they knew right here without any of that, you know, back to 16:3. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given. There ain't going to be no weather report. But the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. This is one of the things I love when you go back and you read these stories, because we've been brought up to look at him in such a different light, and the world has presented him in such a different light, and it's to the point where a newscaster, somebody who's supposed to be an educated person, can say, well, guess what? Yeah, Santa Claus is who he is. But then she said that Jesus is white also. How can you be so educated and be so ignorant at the same time, Megyn Kelly? How could you be so educated and so ignorant at the same time? You are a journalist. You're supposed to be a fact finder and a truth relayer. That's what a journalist is supposed to be. The media is supposed to be fact finders and truth imparters. Hold up. You don't know that? At this point in our history, that's a no-brainer. You're just ignorant to it now. You're willfully burying your head into the sand of that fact. You ain't got to believe that he was a dark-skinned individual. You don't have to believe that his hair was short and nappy. You don't have to believe that, even though the scriptures do illustrate that. But you should at least know at this point he was a person of color, that he had some hue, that he wasn't, and it's not to be racist. It's just fact is fact and truth is truth. Right? Okay. So, and that's why, you know, that's one of the things that I love about him. He says what he has to say, and he rolls out. He ain't waiting for no debate. He ain't waiting for no rebuttal. He ain't waiting for no reply. And even an adulterous generation seeketh after the sign, and men shall begin to accept this. The sign of Jonah. I'm out. What more you got to say? He said, because he comes back and he tells us later on, let your yay be yay, let your nay be nay. So what's all this going back and forth? What is a 2-hour YouTube video necessary for? You tell me, what is a 2-hour YouTube video necessary for? You either believe or you don't believe. And I am of the mindset, and I've been of this mindset for quite some time, I have nothing to prove to you. I can't prove to you what the Almighty cannot prove to you, because he has proven to me what no one has been able to prove to me. I come here for reproof, but the proof came from right here. For every one of us, not just me, for every one of us. And we're going to see why. We're going to see why. Okay, and when his disciples will come to the other side, they have forgotten to take bread. Okay, so now, this is the thing why, and I'm starting with Matthew because it kind of builds backwards. Even though we got Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the totality of it we're going to learn about in Luke in this scenario. So, you know, because you're reading this and you're like, well, wait a minute, there's like some gaps in information here. We just jump, he's going to start talking about bread and all this sort of stuff, and you're like, well, you know, us as the readers, like, wait a minute, how do you get to this so fast? So anyway, this is why sometimes a lot of people hold the New Testament, quote-unquote New Testament, in doubt, because instead of doing some sound research and going back and fact-checking what's right in there, you kind of just want to discard it because, oh, there's gaps in here, because there's a gap right here, right? Okay, 6:5, when his disciples will come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread, right? They all make you read from that, just talking about something, they on the other side, they forgot bread. Then Yahushua said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reason among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? I mean, like, you know, they're like, hold up. We have taken no bread. They say, hold up. which when Yahushua perceived, see, of the relationship that he had with them. And it's not just because he is the creator. Of course, you know, it's because he's the creator. But he had a relationship among them that he could say, hold up, man, they probably got this. I'm watching these things. Like, you know, because he's your leader. If Yahshua is upset with us, we kind of feel like, oh, hold up. You know, you don't want you. I know if I'm upset with my team, they be on their T's and T's. Because they know I can. Right? So when your leader's upset, and you know, and Yahushua's like, hey, come on, this is all that good things are told because we didn't do this. Of course, they said that, like, oh my goodness, he upset me. But that's what he said, right? He didn't pray. Why you ain't think that? But that's really not what the scenario is about. We'll find out later. 16:8. Which when Yahushua perceived, he said unto them, oh, ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake not to you concerning bread that ye should be aware of, the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You know, that, remember that old commercial? I should have had a V8. That was that moment for them. It was like, oh, the light bulb went. Oh, I should have had it. Oh, I should have understood what he was talking about. Right? Now, 16:13. When Yahushua came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Eliyahu, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Right? He saith unto them, who do you say that I am? Yeah. Who do you say that I am? And as we progress, we're going to read the same scenario in Mark and Luke, and we'll get some more insight into the scenario. And Shimon Kepha answered and said, thou art Moshiach, the son of the living Elohim. And I had the phrase in Hebrew, and I forgot to bring it. Because I wanted to bring the emphasis of what he said in Hebrew, Beni, Elohim, forgive me, y'all. I meant to bring it because that was his statement. It wasn't thou art the Moshiach, the son of the living Elohim. Ha Moshiach! Beni ha Elohim and Kaiu, something like that is what he said. And Yahushua answered and said, Baruch Atah Shimon Bar Yona, for it be that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So now, one of the things that he wanted to see, two things Yahushua wanted to see. One, just right off the brick, how did y'all see him? How did you perceive him? And two, not only were they having a relationship with him, but now that they were having a relationship with their heavenly Father. See, because even though you have to go through Yahushua for this relationship, you still have to have a relationship. You have to know that he is. You have to know that he exists. You have to acknowledge that he is your Father. Which prophet was it we just read? He said, have I not been a father to you? So this isn't a new concept. That him being the Father. We just read, I think it was it Malachi? I said, have I not been a father to you? I'm your daddy. I'm Papa. I'm Pop. I've been that to you. I've taken care of you. I am the strength of your house. We're going to talk some things today about Metro. My brother dropped it on me last week. It's been burning up in me. You're like, Gator. Woo. Right? He says, and I say, 16:18, Matthew 16, and I say unto you, I say also unto thee, thou art Kepha, and upon this rock. Now, this is, I want to touch on this because this is where doctrine has screwed people up, and people think that now you can create a whole church of molesters based on this. Okay, an organization. Think about it. It is an organization that thrives off of molesting children, male and female. And the world has not denounced it yet. But we don't see why. we say unto you, thou art Kepha, and upon this rock, not you, Peter, this rock, I am the rock. What he just said, upon this rock, what rock? I remember, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, right? Now, what is the word for rock in Hebrew? Aben, right? What shares the same root as that word in Hebrew? Sun. I remember reading when I, way back when it says, don't read stone, but read sun. And then sometimes don't read sun, but read stone. Mm-hmm. So he's letting Peter know, he's giving Peter confirmation now because Peter knows, and the scripture says, the stone that the builders refused have become the chief cornerstone. So now he's affirming some things with Peter now because he saw the light go off in Peter, and it was like ding, 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 ding. So now there's a connection between him and Peter because now Peter is seeing this. And Peter is seeing this along with the Shin, the Ayin, the Wah, the Ayin. You know what I'm saying? He's seeing that Yahushua, and he sees what is in front of him. And he knows now that Yahweh peels something back. And now he is worthy to get a greater understanding. And even though we see that Peter struggled with some things later on in life, one thing could not be taken from Peter at that point. That he had a revelation that we know was beyond everybody else's relationship as far as the apostles concerned, save John. Right? Right? Save John. Because we know how John's book starts off, Bereshit bara Elohim, right? In the beginning, but he said, Bereshit bara HaDebarim, right? He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word wasn't. So we knew that John, without a shadow of a doubt, understand certain things about his deity and the nuances of his deity, which ain't for everybody. It's not for everybody. It's one of the things that we have to see right here off the bricks. This relationship that we have with Yahweh, with Yahushua, is an invitation.
Hallelujah.
It's by invitation only. It's by invitation only. It's an exclusive club. But the sad part about Israel is we don't sometimes realize the depth of that exclusivity. When you think about God, right? And you, matter of fact, let's think about this. We're going to look at God. Now, my brother, the golf brother, ain't here today, but my brother, they follow golf a little bit. What is one of the most prestigious places to play in the United States in golf? Y'all know? Public Beach is one of them. But the one where you get the greens at. Augusta National, right? That's the one in Georgia. A very exclusive club. Not everybody can get in that club. Now, there was a time you could be excluded based on race or religion. But now, to get to work around that, you're excluded by your stature, your social status. Now, you can play at Augusta National. Anyone can play unless you qualified for the Beach PGA Tour. But you cannot be a member of their golf club unless you are of a certain socioeconomic status. That matter of fact, right up there in Pikesville. Did y'all know that's one of the most exclusive clubs in the United States? Right up there in Pikesville? Right up, not a block, not but a mile from the hood? That's one of the most exclusive golf. If you ain't of a certain socioeconomic, if you don't have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 digits behind your name in your bank account, you ain't getting in that club. You can't just walk on in and just play. It's not like going to a Forest Park. Anybody, it's a municipal golf club. Anybody can roll up in Forest Park, pay the green fees, and do what I did that day and mess their grass up. But if I want to mess up Augusta National's grass, I got to have money, right? So let's relate that to this. It's an open invitation to everyone. That's why this Bible is the most translated book in the world. However, based on your relationship with him, you may or may not. That's the word. We read in Ezra what happens after you're done and why it happens to you after you're done, right or wrong. And it's about the relationship that you choose to have with the Creator. And my brother said it last night. He said, yay, I stand at this door, and I'm not. I stand at the door. I'm knocking. just like Jehovah's Witnesses do. And sometimes we answer because when you're a believer, because you want to get into a debate with them. Sometimes you don't want to be bothered with them. I remember back in the day, because I was intimidated by how much word they do, and I couldn't respond to the stuff they were telling me, I would hide. You know, once you see them start, you hear the door start shutting and they call the block, you're like, oh, snap, what time is it? Saturday morning, about 10 o'clock. Oh, they're about to interrupt my cartoon time. Sugar, sugar. Mom, the Jehovah's Witnesses is going to shut the door. And I got an uncle that's a Jehovah's Witness. Didn't even go to his mother's funeral because he's Jehovah's Witness. Didn't even walk in, you know, because of the firmness of his belief. But anyway, back to Matthew 16th chapter. But, you know, this is something that I don't want to use the term exclusive in the sense of it excludes anyone. But once you accept the invitation, yes, said in one of his parables, there was a man that went out, he gave everybody an invitation to his wedding feast. He was just throwing them up in the air like, hey, y'all, I'm getting mad. I want everybody to come. Come on, come on, come on. Some people pick it up and say, oh, snap, I like a good wedding. I think I'm going to go. Some people look at it like, what do you invite me for? I ain't going to choose, but I don't even know that fool. You know how I know that's true? Because I stood up there, was handing out pamphlets one day, and somebody told me, get that blippity blippity blop 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 out my face. So everybody ain't going to accept the invitation. Everybody not going to look at the pamphlet. But trust me, they ran all over the place. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I can't count. 9. We got 9 right here. And if somebody got one, that's 10 or more, right? You ain't even got to be doing right. You could be going to a hotel to do all kinds of crazy stuff and want to be sitting there waiting for you. Maybe you shouldn't do what you're about to do. You ever wonder that? Why it's in the hotel room? Whether you're about to do your drug transaction, whether you're going to do something debauchery, why is that Bible in every hotel room? Tell you think about it. Stop. 16:19. I'm going to go back to 18. Matthew 16:18. And I said also unto thee that thou art Kepha, right? And Kepha in Hebrew means what? Stone, right? And upon this rock, Yahushua HaMashiach, I will build my congregation, and the gates of Sheol shall not prevail against it. 16:19. And I will give unto thee keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Yahushua HaMashiach. So now why would he want to keep that hidden? Why would he not want them to go out there and shout it on the rooftop? Because, see, we believe that as believers we ought to shout that to everybody on the rooftop sometimes. But he told them, no, keep that to yourself. Keep that. That's for y'all only. Hold that for a minute. Hold that. But sometimes we need to hold that for a minute. We need to pause on that. Because even he said, yo, don't cast your pearls among swine and all this holding them on the balls. Be careful how you're out there. But now we're in the information age, YouTube age, we're just vomiting out stuff. 2 hours worth of going back and forth, and nobody's really talking about the word. Nobody's really coming to trying to come to a point where they are having a closer look. Think about all the videos we watch. Which one of those guys have ever said, you know what? Let's dial this back in and come back to the heart of the matter. Are we trying to have a closer relationship with the Creator? No. All they're trying to do is jujitsu with each other. All they want to do is see who got the best jab, who got the best crawl, who can twist the other brother off. That's all they're trying to do. And they do each other a disservice when doing that, because at the end of the day, if you don't bring people back to a closer relationship, if all you're doing is polarizing people and having people choose one side or the other, how are you any different than Donald Trump? How are you any different than the congressman, the senator? How are they any different? Because that's what they do in the Senate all day long. I disagree. I disagree. I disagree more. No, I disagree the most. See, for 2 hours, And what do the people, unfortunately, what do the people who don't, who are hungering for the word of God, what do they get in the end of it? This is why I ain't never going to no congregations, because that's all they do in congregations. These Hebrew Israelites, all they ever going to do is debate about the word of God. What I need that for? I could do that at home. I could get that at home. Anyway, so we see that from Matthew's perspective. Now let's take a look at it from Marcus's perspective. Marcus. We're going to Mark shows a little, shows some of the same, but also some differences as well. Right? Amen. Mark 8:1 starts off with, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Yahushua called his disciples and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have been now with me 3 days. Check this out, y'all. We've been here for a couple of hours. Yahushua had people with him for 3 days and didn't eat. 3 days. Because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them coming from far. 8:4, and his disciples answered, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? That's his question right there. So we focus on Yahushua's question. And he asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 10. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. He gave the blessing. So we can tell y'all in the middle of how much you look at him and how much. And break and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed them and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, a small stadium. He sent them away. And he sent them away. And straightaway he entered into a ship. And his disciples came into the parts of Dalmanutha. 8:11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven. So now we see now, and Mark is giving us some more background information, because it jumped from them tempting him, Matthew jumped from them tempting him to them talking about the loaves of bread. Now Mark is showing that they were out for 3 days teaching the word. They were with Yahushua. You know, there's a lot of people, and then, you know, they got hungry. They didn't have any food for them. Yahushua said, whatever we got, give it to me, and I'm going to dispense it to the people, right? And then we come to the point now where the Pharisees and the Sadducees are confronting him, right? So that's why it's important to, you know, be circumspect in all of this. Go all around in this scenario. So in that way, you know, people are like, well, you know, New Testament, blah, blah, blah. I'm believing in the New Testament, whatever reason you got within yourself. They try to say that, you know, because the Marcones or some family was commissioned to write it. Well, again, my personal belief is if they were trying to deceive people about Yahushua and what he did, they did a poor job. Because if I can see this, and I ain't that smart of a dude, everybody else should be able to see this too. That there are things in there that says, he went to the synagogue as was his custom every Shabbat, right? So that right there alone should let you know, okay, let's say you don't want to accept who he is because we see that there are people that's not going to perceive him the same as everybody else, right? Okay. Mark 8:12, and he sighed deeply in his spirit. And you hear more about what happened, right? Because it just shows he answered the question and departed, right? So it says here, and he sighed deeply within his spirit. And so before that, just imagine somebody, it makes me think about that scene in Deadpool when he goes, oh, almost like Yahushua was like, y'all dudes, you know, why doeth this generation seek after a sign? Verily, I say unto you, there shall be no sign given unto this generation. And he left them and entered into the ship again and departed to the other side. So now we get even some more on what he did. He just, man, I ain't giving y'all nothing. But now Matthew went in and gave us some more details. Now, Luke, when we go into Luke, he's going to corroborate that story too, right? And he left them and entered again into the ship again and departed to the other side. Now, the disciples had forgotten to take drink. Neither did they in the ship with them, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. So now we get a little bit more into the scenario. Now they're on the ship, they're together, they didn't, you know, they felt like they didn't get enough bread, they didn't take enough bread out of what he had left, right? And they reasoned among 1816, they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. And Yahushua knew it. He said, when Yahushua knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Hear ye not? And do ye not remember? See, now, Marcus is remembered from, like, for instance, I don't like punishment. So when harsh words come down on me, I'm going to remember every word you said when you punished me. Sean, my son is like that. But daddy, you said, and I was like that with my father, but daddy, you said, so now Marcus, the type of person he was, he remembered all of this because now it's convicting him in a particular way. Whereas Matthew now, he could forget about that part of the story. Marcus, on the other hand, this hurt him a little bit. So he wanted to illustrate what happened to him. He said, and these were the words, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? He's talking to his intimate. He's talking to the people that's with him. He's talking to the people he's hoping would understand a little bit more from what they've gleaned from being with him. Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember when I break five loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? I ain't talking about that. Right? 8:22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spat on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw up. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into town nor tell to anyone in town, to any in the town. 8:27. You think about, you know, that hearing about him spitting on the man's eyes, if you think about what happened to him and the thing when he was being crucified and how his spit was placed upon somebody to heal them while they spat on him to degrade him, you know? 8:27. And Yahushua went out and his disciples into the town of Caesarea Philippi. See, we're talking the same scenario, because remember, in Matthew, they were going to Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, who do men say that I am? So now he's asking them, reflect on when y'all, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself, sorry, John the Baptist, but some said Eliyahu, and others one of the prophets. So you see the same exact thing. So we know that Matthew and Mark saw the same exact scenario. Mark is giving some other details that Matthew didn't give, because for Marcus, this was more important. And he said unto them, by whom say ye that I am? And Yahushua answered, and Kepha answered them, Peter, and said unto him, thou art Mashiach. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Okay? So now we see that this kind of, he is it right there, right? Okay. So now, we see from Marcus's perspective, you know, Yahushua asked them those additional questions and made those additional statements to them because, but though that know much, much is required of them, you know. And the fact that they had been among him for some time and saw what he was doing firsthand. And see, a lot of times when we hear greater works shall ye do? Talking about later on in time, this generation. See, the greater work that we do is having this faith, not having seen this stuff firsthand. See, that kind of, if it troubled Yahushua, but it kind of got under his skin. It kind of rubbed him. You know what I mean? Because even when he said, even when they said, show us the Father, I think that was Philip said that. Now show us the Father. Hold on. All this time I've been with you, you haven't seen the Father?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get it? Think about where Yahweh has taken us now through the whole Torah, 3 days journey. Now, think about that. It's so funny. Shabbat talked about it last night. 3 days journey, right? Basically, a walk from here, maybe to New York. Give or take, right? A couple of hours, right? By foot. But it took them 40 years. Yahweh took them on a 40-year journey.
That's right.
In crevices, these valleys, and peaks, and all these different areas. Why four times? Why he do that? Why he do that? Well, guess what? That generation was similar to this generation and this generation that we're in now. They don't get it. Having eyes, they see not. Having ears, they hear not. Having a mind that seems to work very well technologically when it comes to spiritually, works not. The transgender said we are not going into the night quietly. Y'all hear that yesterday? They said we ain't doing that. We're going to march on Washington. We're going to force y'all to accept our lifestyle. That's what they said. Okay, we've been nice about it for too long. But the heels are coming off. The earrings coming out. I'm putting Vaseline on my face. And we're going to fight today. That 6'5" woman, where did it go? That guy who, what's his name? He was two of them, the special forces. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine that? Fighting? It's not a fair fight. You trained by the military best. You was a Navy SEAL. You know how to kill somebody without them even knowing you killed them. They just drop dead by something you do to them. The guy that worked down the hospital, he was trained by Mossad, right? And one of the things that Mossad has showed him how to stealthily kill people. Now, why he chose to exercise this technique on me, I don't know. But he would always make sure he walked behind me. And before he got ahead of me, tapped me on the shoulder and let me know I've been following you since you got in the building, you know. But he I said, well, how do you do it? And he said, well, one of the things that they train you to do is walk in the same cadence and same footsteps as that person. Whatever pace that person is walking at, you walk at the same pace. If they're going on the right foot, you make sure you go with their right foot and go with their left foot. And human nature is not to pay attention. You just walking, right? And Mossad, I believe, is Israeli special forces. So they specialize in certain techniques on how to do that. I ain't that type of person. I don't like sneaky people. You know, but I did find that interesting. But anyway, you know, these people now are at the point where they're saying, all right, well, we've been nice. We've been demure. We've been accepting of the fact that y'all don't want to accept us. Well, we're not accepting it. We're not accepting the fact that you ain't accepting us anymore. And, oh, Jeff Sessions just set them off, you know. But anyway, let's, now we're going to look at it from Lucas's perspective. From Lucas. We're going to start in Luke, the 9th chapter. And again, we're talking about who is Yahushua. There was a song, I can't remember if that was a title song, but one of the lines in the song was, who is he and what is he to you? It was a song about a man cheating. And the question was, or somebody in a relationship outside their marriage, and the question was, who is he and what is he to you? Who is that person to you? You know, why? Who is he? And who is he to you? Is he just a friend? You know, is he somebody more than a friend? Is he your boss? Is he your coworker? What is he? Well, you know, Yahushua is going to say, no, who am I to you? And I don't want us, and all that is being said, to get away from the heart of the matter is, who is Yahushua to us, Yahweh? Who is he to us? Because it's very important, because, you know, we were talking the other day and reflected on our year, last 2 years, in our life here in Beth Yahweh, and for some people that was a difficulty. Mashiach was a difficulty for some people. Somebody who, for us, is, you know, we've kind of just gotten used to our relationship with them, so it's like, it's unfathomable for us that somebody would be a believer and not believe, if that makes sense. You know, you would be so knowledgeable in some regards, but then you don't accept Yahushua, you don't see Yahushua for who he is, you know. But I thought that it was good that we saw that, because now it should really help us to understand the beauty and the importance of knowing who he is. And the fact that he says that this ain't something that flesh and blood can reveal to you. This is something that has to come from Abba. This has to come from this Yod and this Hey. You know? And as a brother used to say that used to come in, it ain't for everybody. It's not for everybody. And the thing is, we take it personally sometimes, but it's not personal towards us. It's just like he told Shemuel. He said, don't be afraid, they ain't rejecting you. Get over yourself. They're rejecting me. I'm the one they rejecting. They calling for a king, not because I was going to raise you up to be king, Shemuel. I already had in mind who I wanted to be king. But now they're rejecting the fact that I am their king. How do you think that makes me feel? You know? Let's go to Luke now, Luke the 9th chapter. Luke. We're going to start in the first verse again. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of Elohim and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staff, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have 2 coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter them, enter into their abide and thence depart. And whosoever will receive you, and when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust from. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust from off your feet for a testimony against them. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. So now we get a little bit more background into even why some of them say John the Baptist, because they're like, hold up, because John was doing his thing. But the thing about John is John knew his role, 1. 2, John did not come to proclaim himself. And 3, John understood that once Yahushua came, he said, I got the decrease now. You here. It's time for you to go. You know, after he baptized him, he said, I'm done. My job is done. Now it's time for you to go out there and do your thing. So, but we don't know how long John had been preaching. Because remember now, thing we learned about Yahuchanan HaMetzabel, right, was that his mother and Yahushua's mother were cousins. His mother was probably an older cousin, because it said how they were up in years, and even his father had done his time as a priest. You know, his father was a priest. As a matter of fact, you learn about it in the book of Luke. But his father was a priest, and that he had done his charge, but him and his wife were having problems having children. But now they were up in age, kind of like Abraham and Sarah. She was past childbearing age. Men don't really get past childbearing age, but he didn't sort of stuff like that anymore. But a word came to him from the angel that you're going to bear a child, and he's going to have certain things, and he's going to be filled from the womb with what? The Ruach HaKodesh. So when John comes on the scene now, he's a powerful figure, and people are taking notice of him. One, not the fact that he was off living to himself. They said he wore animal clothing and he ate locusts. He was a wild man. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make way, you know what I'm trying to say. That was who John was. But we don't know how long he had been doing this. But he had renown. He had disciples. He had people who, he had a great following amongst them. And even why, you see, now Yahushua had thousands of people following him. People were hungry for the word back then. Because we're coming out of the post, we're in the Maccabees right now, but this is in the quote-unquote post-Maccabean period. This is the part where now the Greeks have been beating us down, and now the Romans have taken charge, and the Romans are beating us down. So now the people's minds are primed and ready for salvation, for the Moshiach. They're ready for a change, because Israel Israel at this point was in dire shape, and John was the one that was out there doing, you know, he was the one preaching the word, for lack of a better term. I didn't know my mom come to that one time. He was out there talking the word, right? So that's why I said that John was risen from the dead, 9:8. And some that Eliah had appeared, and others that one of the old prophets was risen. And Herod said, John, have I beheaded? But who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. Talking about Yahushua, right? So now we're learning a little bit more. He's going out, he's sending his apostles out, and they're doing their thing, and they're healing, because John thought, I mean, Herod thought that once he off John's head and killed John, that all this talk about God was going to stop. But now he sees that this talk about God didn't stop, but John, it's increased. So who is this man? So now we're learning that Herod is one of the people that was out there saying, John. So when even Yahushua asked the question, who do men say that I am? He wants to know, well, are the leadership seeing this too? Are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, as well as the multitude, and is King Herod seeing this too? Hmm? Because you see now that he's the one saying, so wait a minute, this ain't John the Baptist is risen from the dead. I killed him. So wait a minute. So now think about what Herod says. Wait a minute now. I didn't heard about the resurrection. Did the resurrection start? So now Herod's going to be in dread of some of this because it's like, hold up, God is real. Because now think about it. Herod is the governor over the Jews. He's the Jewish leader. You see what I'm saying? He's not even like Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman leader of the Jewish territory. Now, Herod is almost like their governor underneath the captivity. You see what I'm saying? But we know he was corrupt. He was dirty politician, right? 9:10. And the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert, a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of Elohim, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge, and get victuals, for we are here in the desert place. And he said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all these people. Right? They're like, hold up. They ain't got money like that. We can't go to school and buy these people. That's why they said, send them up. They're hungry. You learned before. They were fasting out there. They were out there for 3 days with them. Right? And they were about 5,000 men. And he said unto his disciples, make them sit down by 50 in a company. This is what Yahushua said. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. Right? 9:18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his John the Baptist. But some say Eliah, and others say that one of the prophets of old, and he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Kepha answered them, the Elohim of Moshiach. Right? And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man his sin. Okay? So now, you see now the 3 different perspectives from where, this was coming from. And how one disciple told his account of it, Matthew, how Mark, another disciple, told his account of it, and Luke told his account of it, right? And the point of reading those 3 things, because he could have simply just asked the question. But it's right there. It's out there for everybody. But I think even Yahweh had it done this way, because each individual had to deal with the account from their own perspective. Because they're 3 individuals with 3 different mindsets and 3 different ways of looking at this thing. So even though this is a general question, by and large for everybody, this is still a very individual question as to who does the world say Yahushua is and how they perceive him, and who Yahweh sees Yahushua is and how we perceive him. And how we perceive him is how we will tell the story about him. You see what I'm saying? Because Matthew, how he perceived him, told his story based on how his perception is. Marcus, based on his perception, showed it from his perspective. And Lucas, from his perspective, showed how he saw Yahushua. So even though we tell the story of our Creator and our relationship of our Creator, Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, from a certain perspective, the question still remains, who do you say that I am? Do you see him, the Moshiach, the son of the living Elohim? Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Yahushua. Shalom, young fella. Yeah, so, any questions, any comments? I'm keeping everybody long today. All right. If nothing, that's my time. All right. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, sir. All right, so just in case you didn't hear the question, Rabbi asked, why did he make that statement? An evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And I don't believe that question is for anything because we see that we are in a time where people are seeking after signs. And I think this is why people are so easily being led astray by some of these videos of, you know, this taking place and that taking place, because he said things are going to be happening. Right. You know, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places. And he said the end is not yet. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, Dr. L's question is, why did he make that statement? An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. If there's no other comment, no question, Shalom. Okay. You sure? All right. Kol Shiva. Don't Kol Shiva. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Amen. Brother Yerah'ah, am I closing this out and praying?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you.